God's people. God's people are sinners saved by sovereign grace in Christ, the Son of God. By Christ, the Son of God. For Christ, the Son of God. According to the promise of God the Father to the Son of God. Paul stood in the synagogue of the Jews at Antioch, Pisidia, and here we have an outline of what he spoke. In Acts 13, verse 17, he said, "The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot." Now if God had not chosen to entrust a people into Christ, we would have never chosen to trust Him. If God had not made us His chosen nation by His great love and according to His covenant promise in Christ and revealed in us by the Holy Spirit that His people are a chosen nation unto Him, His Israel, if He had not revealed that in us, we'd gladly have taken our place among the heathen nations of this world. Were it not for the fully accomplished atonement made by Christ, our Redeemer, and witnessed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, there is no way we could have freed ourselves from the bondage of Satan and sin to worship our Lord. All the days that we journeyed through the wilderness of sin before we ever knew Christ, if it were not for the fact that for the sake of Christ Jesus the Lord God, the covenant God of heaven and earth, long suffered with our rebellion because He had put us in Christ and He viewed His people in Christ our surety. And but for Christ our surety, He would have never suffered so long with us in our rebellion. And then, if it wouldn't have been for God Himself coming to us through the Holy Spirit and in power revealing Christ in us and giving us the earnest of our inheritance, giving us the Holy Spirit so that we behold that in Christ, because of what He accomplished, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Him, with Christ. If He had never done this, we would never have beheld that we have something far greater than anything that this world can offer. And even now, as we walk by faith, we're plagued by sin, within and without, and we continually fail miserably in ourselves. And this world endeavors to entrap us, appealing to our flesh, to our old flesh, and it's such a powerful, powerful thing that there's no way we could continue in Christ. There's no way we could persevere in faith, trusting Christ alone, if it were not for God preserving us by His grace and continually delivering us in Christ our deliverer. Did you know that that's what the book of Judges teaches? Did you know that the book of Judges teaches that very thing? God illustrates for the believer throughout the book of Judges that if He left us to ourselves, we would return to our former idolatry. We would return to our former sins of immorality, the former lusts of our flesh, And it's but for His grace. It's but for the fact that Christ has justified His people and made us holy, and that's how we are accepted. We're accepted in the Beloved. And but for the grace of God keeping us, Christ our Deliverer, who has saved us and is saving us and shall continue to save us. But for Him doing that, we would return back to our idolatry this hour. I wanted you to sing that song, I Need Thee every hour, because that's the believer's confession every hour. I need Him every hour. I've not yet arrived to the place where I don't need Christ. I've not yet arrived to the place where I don't need my God to keep me by His power. And I pray by His grace I never arrive to that place. As Paul preached in the synagogue at Antioch, that's exactly what he declared to the Jews and the Gentiles concerning the true children of Abraham after they were delivered into the land of Canaan. Verse 20 is the main portion of our message tonight. We find there, he says, and after that, from this time that's given here, is from Egypt to their deliverance into Canaan, after about the space of 450 years. The Lord gave unto them judges until Samuel the prophet. Now here's what I want you to get tonight. Everything which Paul declares in the synagogue to Jew and Gentile, as he gives this survey of the law and prophets, we're given an outline of it here, and as he gives this survey of the law and prophets, he's telling us that God saves His people according to His promise. That's the title of the message, according to promise. God saves according to His promise in spite of the sin of His people. And God does it through the person and work of Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, we've seen here already, as we've looked at this opening portion of this opening outline of Paul's sermon, we saw that what Paul said there in the beginning was, our fathers didn't choose God. God chose them in His Son, Christ the Seed. The children of Israel began with about 70 men starving to death who went down to Egypt. But God multiplied them into a nation, just as He exalts His children. And in His Son, Israel, His Son, who as a prince has prevailed with God and men. That's what it means. The children of Israel were in bondage, and God redeemed them through the blood of His Lamb. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's what we learn there. The children of Israel wandered through the wilderness of sin and rebellion and rejection of God, just like we did before we ever were brought to a spiritual understanding of who God is. And God was long-suffering with His people, with you who believe, in all that time of rebellion, because He put you in Christ, and Christ had redeemed you. The children of Israel could not have overcome those seven nations which were more mighty than they, but God gave them the victory and delivered their inheritance to them by lot, just as God has made His children heirs and joint heirs with Christ and given us the earnest of our inheritance in the Holy Spirit. And now Paul says, not only this, but the children of Israel, in them we behold that they were totally unable, totally incapable in themselves of continuing obeying God. Even after He'd done all that for them, they were unable to obey Him. He had to keep them. He had to keep them. I know that some of you have probably been taught that once the Holy Spirit enters into you, He enables you somehow to keep God's law now. If that were the case, there'd be no need for Paul to when he preached, to say, don't yield your members to the lust of this flesh. If the Holy Spirit enabled you to trust, to obey His law, there'd be no need for a word that tells us to remember, don't yield to these members. What He does when He enters into us is He gives us faith. He gives us strength to behold by the eye of faith His Son. And in His Son, we behold that He has completely, totally fulfilled the law of God for us as our representative. And He has satisfied the justice of that law as our substitute. And in Him, we are holy and accepted by God Almighty. And He enables us through that Spirit to stay on Him. And we turn in our flesh to the left and to the right, and He keeps us right there. He brings us back to Christ. And that's what we see in throughout the Judges. Last Sunday morning, Brother Pete aptly brought out the fact that this world that we're in, as he read from the Psalm, this world we're in is the valley of the shadow of death. That's what it is. And for the believer, we start out this earthly journey and this life of faith, and we think like the children of Israel did over in the book of Judges. We're going to see that in just a moment. We think like they did. We're excited. We see Christ. We behold what our Lord has done for us, that He has truly delivered us and made us sons, His sons, and that He's given us an inheritance in Christ. And we're strong. And we take off, and we're bound and determined that we're going to honor our God and serve our God, and we will not compromise. We will not fall back into that sin and that rebellion anymore. We're going to stay on Him from here on out. But very soon we realize that as long as we're in this body of death, in this valley of the shadow of death, in this world, we're in the valley of Bokum. The valley of weeping is where we are. The book of Judges opens with the children of Israel gladly asking the Lord, "Who shall go up against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" They can't wait. The Lord has said, "You're going to destroy the Canaanites. All these different nations that are dwelling in the land of Canaan, you're going to wipe them out. I want you to destroy them when you go in there. Don't compromise with them. Destroy them." And they're so excited. They're so full of joy and rejoicing at what God has done for them in delivering them that they said, "Who do you want to go up against them first?" And very shortly, in a very brief amount of time, One by one, they began to make covenants with the people and leaving them there and compromising with them. Now look at Judges chapter 2 and verse 1. What happened? And an angel of the Lord, Judges 2 verse 1. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, "I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers." He does this according to promise, doesn't he? He said, "I did this according as I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." That's what the Lord God of glory says in the hearts of His people when He makes His covenant with you. He says, "I will never break my covenant with you." It's not a bilateral covenant. It's not Him saying, "I'll never break my covenant with you, Michelle, if you promise me you won't break your covenant with me." If that was the case, we'll see here right quick that we wouldn't have any hope whatsoever. But when God makes His everlasting covenant in the heart of His people, He says, "I have sworn by myself." God can't lie. And He gives us an assurance that by two immutable things, He swore by Himself. He made His promise in His Son. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In covenant with God, in covenant with God, who cannot lie. And He says, I'll never break my covenant with you. I have saved you. I have chosen you. I have redeemed you. I have bought you. You are mine. And that's the end of the story. You're going to be with me in glory, and that's how it is. And he says now, I made my covenant with you. I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Don't make a covenant with this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they called the name of that place Bochim, the Valley of Weeping, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. They were not to enter into league with the Canaanites in any way, not sharing land, not in business, not in marriage, and certainly not in worship. The Lord was clear. Entering into league with them would not result in the Canaanites worshiping the true and living God. It would result in the children of Israel worshiping the Canaanites' God. Well, I know she's not a believer, but my son's a believer, and I think if they get married, maybe he can witness to her, and eventually, Lord will save her. God said, you will end up worshiping their gods. They won't end up worshiping your gods. And the fact of the matter is this, it's not what if God will or what might God do. This is what God has said. Don't enter into a covenant with them. Period. Now, what do you think he's going to bless? Us entering into a covenant with them? Or not? Well, apply this to yourself personally. Just to you personally. Just think about this personally. You worship God. You've been brought into a saving, vital union with Christ. And you put away the big sins. You put them away. You mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, lust and covetousness, and all those things. You put those things away. But you sort of make a league with those little sins. Or you make a covenant with your flesh and say, well, now, those other things are little sin, like anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication and lying. Look at this big stuff I've done away with. Now, that stuff's just small potatoes compared to what I've put away. And here's how we generally justify doing what is right in our own eyes. That's what they did. They did what they thought was right in their own eyes. Here's how we justify it. Well, now let's talk about this, fellas. We've driven out most of the people. Just like you look at, well, I've driven out most of those sins. We've driven out most of the people. But it won't hurt now if we leave a few of these folks. We've come into a land that's a dry land. We're used to cultivating our crops down in Egypt where it's very fertile and wet. What if we don't grow any crops this first year? How are we going to support ourselves? We leave a few of these folks here, make them pay tribute. Read Judges chapter 1 at your leisure. We'd make them pay tribute. We'd make them pay taxes to us. And we'd save up that money. That way, if our first year doesn't pan out, we don't have many crops. As if God, who delivered them into that land, wouldn't give the rain that they needed to grow those crops. But in my own eyes and in my own wisdom, it sounds like a good plan. Now, we can leave a few of these folks here, make them pay tribute. I mean, we've run almost all of them out of here. This is not a religious thing we're talking about, folks. This is a secular choice. This is a business decision we're making here. This don't have anything to do with God now. It's just business. We can get these folks to pay tribute. And you never know. You never know. They may just end up worshiping with us. We might be a witness to them by being so gracious to them, and we bring them over and they worship our God. And folks hear that, they say, you know, that's gracious. Surely God wouldn't blame us for wanting to leave them here to get this money like this because we're trying to provide for our sons and our daughters. Oh, he's a family man. That's good. We're doing this in case our crops fail. We'll have some money saved up. We're thinking ahead. You know, he's a businessman. He's a wise businessman. We give our blasphemy pretty names. We call it real pretty things. God calls it whoredom. That's what He tells them right here. It's exactly what He called it. Where does disobedience to God lead us personally? Where does it lead our children personally? Where does it end up? Where does it end up? Paul told the Romans, the end of those things is death. Isn't it? The Lord shows us where their compromise ended. And He does it by showing us where their next generation ended up. He shows us the fruit of our disobedience, the fruit of our sin, by showing us where their fruit ended up, where their children ended up, their fruit. I'm just saying now, think of this as just us, just me personally, you personally. Think of when a little sin began, where does it end up in us? Well, here's where it ends up. Judges 2:10. Judges 2:10. And also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, they died, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Be sure you understand, it does not say they forsook using the name of the Lord God of their fathers. It does not say they forsook the form of worship which the Lord God, their fathers, had given them. That's not what they forsook any more than they forsook the land which the Lord God had given them. They merely added to what the Lord God had given them. It started by simply leaving a few folks in the land. Just a little disobedience. Just a little bit. And they allowed these folks to live among them. Just like we allow a little sin. We just allow a little, just our, whatever our ism is. Everybody's got an ism. Whatever ours is. We allow that ism. Just a little bit. But slowly, the children of Israel became accustomed to the precepts taught by those heathen people. And they became accustomed to their way of life. And they got used to it. And it seemed normal to them. And it became the standard. And God allowed other nations to ravage them to show His true sons and daughters that sin always results in our own destruction. Now, you sitting here tonight that know Him, that have been saved by His grace to believe on Him, learn from this. And you who don't know it, listen to this. It starts out small. It starts out just a little bit. And we'll excuse it with some name that just makes it seem not nearly as bad. You take up, there's a day when you have off work. And let's say there's a time you could go worship on that day that you're off. And instead, you load up your family and you take them to watch a Titans ball. Titans. I'm still in Tennessee. You take them to watch Philadelphia play, the Eagles play ball. And we say, well, I'm just trying to be a family man. I'm just trying to to spend time with my children. Think about it this way. Whenever we meet to worship God, and it's just an example. When we meet to worship God, God, if He meets with us, He's bringing us into His presence to teach us, to edify us. Well, it don't hurt to just miss one day. It doesn't. It doesn't hurt. What if that one day is the day He's bringing us into His presence for all eternity? What if that's the day that He's returned and He's going to, it's the day that He's bringing us in? Would you in that day say, well, I'm not going to go that day. I'm going to go to the ball game. Well, you'd say, boy, that, I wouldn't do that. He says, well, then don't make light of coming into my house and worshiping me any more than we'd make light of lying to somebody or make light of any other sin. It's the same as making light of it. We excuse it and we give it some name to make it sound honorable and to make it sound not quite so bad. Well, he says here and he shows us it's going to end in, if he allowed it to go on, it would end in destruction. But in God's dealing with these children of Israel through the judges, he also teaches us his faithfulness. That he, because he's satisfied with his Son, Christ the Lord, who perfectly fulfilled his will, completely, who never had any guile in him, never had a double mind at all, a double heart at all. God the Father deals with his justified sons and daughters as just that, justified sons and daughters. That's how he deals with his children. He turned them over and use nations to discipline them just as you would turn your child over your knee and correct them with a belt because you love them and you won't allow them to be condemned with the world. And after he turned them from their false way, he brought them to the point to where they cried out. And then he did this. Look at what Paul says in Acts 13:20. And after that, he gave unto them judges. Now listen, look at Judges 2:16. It says, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. What a word. Nevertheless. There's a word that magnifies just how free, just how sovereign, just how sure God's grace is for His children that He's everlastingly loved. Nevertheless. I'm not telling you, brethren, that there's a point to where you can mortify the deeds of your flesh to the point that you put away sin. I'm not saying that. I'm encouraging us to do that. I'm encouraging us not to yield our members, to give everything we've got not to. But the fact of the matter is, as long as we're in this body of death, we can't do it. We can't do it. But nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hands of those that spoiled them. In spite of the rebellion of His children, the rebellion that the believer still is in this flesh, our faithful Father raises up Christ our Deliverer. And that word means Savior. And He's our Deliverer continually. Look down at verse 18, Judges 2:18. And when the Lord raised them up, judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. Whenever He would raise up a judge, a deliverer, the one who went forth and conquered their enemies on their behalf, who saved them from their enemies, whenever that judge was present, they worshipped and they were steadfast in the Lord. But look what happened if they didn't have that judge. Whenever that judge was out of sight, look what happened, verse 19. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. In the synagogue, as Paul was there preaching, there sat before him folks who had rebelled against God. Folks who didn't see their deliverer, who didn't know the judge, and who didn't have any man to really teach them the truth. Their fathers had, the rulers, the Pharisees and the rulers, when Christ came, Paul will say that. We're going to look at that later in another message. But Paul will say, they at Jerusalem, they didn't know him. They didn't know the prophets. They didn't know what the word of God said, and they crucified him. These were your leaders. These were the ones you thought were your judges. But as Paul is preaching that to them, Paul and Barnabas are men whom God has raised up to truly teach them, and who came forth with the message that God has truly raised up the Savior, the Deliverer. And thereby, God's going to save some folks in the synagogue. He's going to save some folks right there that Paul and Barnabas are preaching to. And He's going to do it by telling them about their Deliverer. And we come to this place week in and week out because as we do so, what God is doing is when He blesses the message to your heart and He causes you in your heart to behold your judge and your Deliverer, Christ Jesus, your Savior, He causes you to behold that one Satan who had you bound, who constantly pointed out your sin to you, who constantly pointed out to you your rebellion, who constantly made you to see that you can't please God, who constantly whispered in your ear and said, you can't serve God, you can't come into God's presence, you're no good. He said, I've bound him, I've conquered him, and I've delivered you from bondage. And I did it because I took your sin upon myself, the Deliverer said, and I went to the cross, and I bore the wrath of God in your place, and I put away your sin. And the only strength that devil has is sin. That's the only tool he's got to use, is sin. Why is it men stand in pulpits and preach the law as if you either have to keep it or you can't come into God's presence? Because that's the only tool Satan's got, is to make you feel like you're full of sin and you've got to do something to get out of it. The Deliverer comes to you and says, I've taken you out of it. I've delivered you from it. I've freed you from your captives. I've set you free. I've set you in Mount Zion with me at the right hand of God, and you're free now. And when he does that, as long as he lifts up the judge, as long as he makes you behold the Deliverer, as long as that judge is before your face and he's teaching you in your heart and he's causing you to look out of yourself to him, you'll serve him. You'll follow him. And he teaches us here through these children, this nation of Israel, that whenever that temporal, literal man wouldn't be there, that God... He died because he was a man. Whenever that man would die, just a regular man, when he would die, they'd go right back into their rebellion, right back to worshiping other gods, right back into captivity, right back into their enemy's hand that spoiled them. But when God would raise up another judge, they would worship God. What's that telling us? That's telling us if God does not raise up the judge before our eyes, if He does not cause us to see Christ, our Deliverer, continually, brethren, if He left us for 1 minute, we'd go right back corrupting ourselves, right back into the hand of the enemy, right back to that law, thinking, well, I got to do something. I've got to do something to amend my way and fix my ways. And this message, this is the only message. Through this message, you know what God caused them to do? Even though a man, a believer, cannot do it perfectly, through this message, it gives us strength because of the love of Christ that constrains us to say, I don't want to yield my members to whatever that is that I've been doing. I don't want to do that anymore. when the deliverer is not exalted, when he's not exalted, we look at the gods of this world. We look at this world's religion, and we begin to think, well, that's how I'm gonna have to amend my ways. And all we're doing is delivering ourselves right into the hand of the Canaanites and making a covenant with them and say, okay, I'll bow down to your God. I'll bow down and worship your God. But he brings us back. He lifts up somebody to preach the gospel, and he brings Christ into our heart, and we behold, I'm accepted. I'm holy in God. And we behold the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and we say, This is what's making me not want to walk the way of this world. This is what makes me want to serve Him. God delivers His people in spite of us. And Paul declared God's grace in the Judges. And he said, I'm going to deal with this next part next time. I'm not going to go into it. I'm going to stop right here. But I want to show you something over there in Judges. Look with me. Let me find this. Judges chapter 1. It just occurred to me as I was preaching this message, I tried to look at this today, and all week I saw it. I kept trying to come back to it, and it just occurred to me. Look at Judges 1:22. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. Now, that's important. The Lord was with them. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now, the name of the city before them was Luz. And the spies saw a man. This is the spies from the house of Joseph. They saw a man come forth out of the city. This is a Canaanite man. This is one of the men they're supposed to destroy. And they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. Now, it's important to note here, the Lord was with them. The Lord was with them. They were to do one of two things. They were either to kill the people or drive them out of the land. That's what they were supposed to do. And they said to this man, they said, if you'll tell us how to get into this city, we'll show you mercy. The Lord's with them. We'll show you mercy. We'll let you go. Well, aren't they making a covenant with him? Nope. You know what they're telling this man? We will not kill you, but you getting out of this land. You have got to get out of this land. And look what this man did. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. Now listen to what this man did. This is a heathen man. This is an idolater. This is a man that don't know God. Listen to what this man did. And the man went into the land of the Hittites. He left Canaan. He went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Why did God put this here? Before it tells us that Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Right after it, he goes through every tribe telling who they made covenant with that dwells among them. But it says here, they said to this man, you're going to have to get out of here. You can tell us and we'll spare you and your family, but you got to leave this land. And the man left the land. He left Canaan and went to the land of the Hittites, and there he built a city. Why did the Lord was with them? Told them to go. House of Joseph. Why did the Lord put this right here in the midst of all that? A heathen, idolatrous man stood for his idolatrous God and wouldn't join himself with the children of Israel and left that land and dwelt with his own people in his own city apart from them because he wouldn't compromise with them. And God says, now if an idolater will do that, how come you won't do it, whom I've done all this, shown all this mercy to? You see that? This man did what God, this heathen man, did what God told them to do. When he was shown mercy, he separated himself from the children of Israel, and he went to his own people, and he dwelt among his own people, and he wouldn't join himself with them and compromise with them. And the Lord's showing us now, when you consider the mercy that I've shown to you and my son, don't you go joining yourself with them. This man didn't even know the true and living God, and look what he did. Now, you who know me, he said, what are you going to do? Are you going to just look over this thing called rebellion and this thing called not obeying me and not trusting me? Or are you going to continue in it? You see that? That clear? Our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul is teaching here. I read some of the writers and different scholars say that Paul was appealing to the Jewish people because he's telling them how favored they are. When I preach the gospel, I preach the grace of God to show how gracious God has been to his people. But at the same time that Paul's preaching the grace of God, he's saying, but it wasn't due to your fathers, and it ain't due to you. Because you see, as soon as if you see what grace is, when you see just how rebellious our fathers were and how rebellious we are, he did this because he's going to save according to promise. We'll pick up there and look at the rest of it next time.